Welcome to another episode of the Be Fearless podcast. And today, our guest is the force behind the Fearless Female Movement. As the founder and CEO, she's driven a mission to dismantle the chains of fear imposed by old ideologies and the subconscious mind. With a unique blend of coaching, she leads women on a healing journey, enabling them to emerge as a fearless architect of their destiny. She is the host of the highly acclaimed podcast, Journey of a Fearless Female, dropping new episodes every Monday, radiating her energy across all platforms. Let's welcome the one, the only, Paola Rother. Welcome.
Thank you. I feel like I have to bow with that applause.
Welcome, welcome. So excited to have you here. How are you?
I am doing good. It's a beautiful Monday here in Southern California, and I am loving this weather.
I am loving it too. At least finally here in Virginia, we have a little bit of rain of sunshine, and it was great so far. I am so excited. So welcome, welcome. I've been waiting for this interview for a while. I can't wait for the audience to know who is Paola Rother. Who was she growing up? What was her dream?
Oh, goodness. Who was I growing up? Well, I am one of seven children. My mom and my dad were both Mexican immigrants, and I was the first Mexican American generation here, born here, what people call the anchor baby. growing up was really difficult because I grew up in a very toxic home. My mother was a narcissist, or is a narcissist. She's still alive. My father was an alcoholic who passed away in 2006. And physical and emotional abuse was the norm in my family. And growing up, I always felt like I didn't belong. I was actually told to my face by my mother that she never wanted me. And my sisters and my brothers would mock me and make fun of me. And you know what? For a long time, I really hated myself and I hated my life. And, you know, I've done so much research about child psychology. And when the child is growing up in an abusive home, whether it's physical, sexual, emotional, the child does not blame the parent. It blames itself. And that's what I did. I took on the blame. I felt like there was something inherently wrong with myself. And I felt like there was something that I could do to like win their love. And so then that created a type A personality. I became the best that I could be at school. And I loved school because that was the only place that I could actually get praise for my work. And so I became a straight A student. I was a cheerleader. I was on ASB. I mean, I was the first in my family to go from high school to college without getting pregnant in between. I graduated from college. I got my first corporate job. I was the first one to move out of my parents' house without getting pregnant or having to move out with a husband. Like, I did all the things that I wanted to do American-wise, you know, because I didn't want to follow the stigma or the routine of like all other Mexican Americans. And I wanted to break the mold and just be American. And all I did, so you can run away from your problems and think that that's going to solve them. But in the back of my mind, I still had the subconscious record running that I wasn't good enough and I wasn't worthy and I was stupid and nobody really wants me and you're unlovable. And because that record played in the back of my subconscious mind, I tended to get into really bad relationships. I got into narcissistic relationships with like men who were so narcissistic, who were also emotionally and physically violent. And I got into work situations where I worked for narcissistic, toxic bosses. And then I became friends with people who were narcissistic and toxic. And then I started to realize it wasn't until I was 33. Well, it wasn't until I was 33 that I realized I keep repeating the patterns, you know, and then I'm back in the cycle of these toxic relationships. And my aha moment or my dark night of the soul was I've had many, but the one that really, really like had me doing like, okay, I have to get my life serious here is when I was 33 years old and I was dating this guy who I caught him cheating on me, and he put his hands around my neck and started choking me out. And I just remember we were outside of a restaurant and I had this aha moment where I thought, I'm the problem. It's me.
Hi.
I'm the problem. It's me. I realized that I was the one in the equation, right? It wasn't my mom. It wasn't my dad. It wasn't my siblings. It wasn't my boyfriends or my friends or my bosses. It was me. I'm the one in the equation. And I actually spent that entire year after breaking up with him sober. Because like I was using all these other coping mechanisms to hide the feelings or hide or stop that record that played in the back of my mind that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't worthy. I was nothing. Nobody loved me. I used alcohol. I used drugs. I used men. I did all the things to try to like silence that voice. And then I realized that those coping mechanisms weren't working, so that after that breakup, I went completely sober. And I tried what everyone else tries, which is I went to church. I went to church 3 times a week and I said the Lord's Prayer multiple times, and nothing really changed for me. And it wasn't until I was really contemplating unaliving myself, and I was unemployed. I was living in a small studio apartment. I had a little Honda Civic.
So what happened in that moment? Because you just said something that is really impactful. What make you realize that it was not worth it to give up on yourself?
Ooh, this is a story. This is a story that I love telling. This is a story that I love telling, and it may be a little woo-woo for some of your listeners, but this is what happened to me.
Just tell it like it is.
This is what happened to me. So like I said, after the breakup, I really didn't trust myself because I'm like, I keep making the same stupid decisions, Paola. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, there's something inherently wrong with you. And that negative voice that sits in the back of my mind that like plays the record when everything goes wrong, like, remember, this is the reason why everything's happening to you. It started getting louder and louder. And I became like, because I didn't trust myself in my decisions, I kind of became a hermit that year. Also, when you become sober, a lot of your friends stop talking to you. They don't really exactly invite you out anymore. And so I became a hermit, and I was alone in my small studio apartment a lot with my thoughts, which is kind of dangerous, you know? And so I got stuck with like my negative emotions and my negative thoughts. And I really did contemplate unaliving myself. And because I was unemployed, I got into the habit of drinking NyQuil to fall asleep so that I could sleep the day away and not spend any money, because I was on unemployment, which I was only collecting $800 a month and my rent was $900. So do the math. Everything else was going on credit cards and I was like drowning in debt. And so to add to my already grieving heart of like losing, you know, that ex-boyfriend and being, you know, not having a job and being in debt, I remember that night I had taken, you know, a lot of NyQuil. And that night I had the most incredible dream. I had a small studio apartment where the bed faced the door. And in 2006, my father passed away. And that was one of my biggest dark night of the soul. And I have still to this day, like, have gone down the rabbit hole of like near-death experiences and what happens to people after they die. And I really missed my dad in that moment. I really felt like I wanted to go home with him. I didn't want to be here anymore. And I just kept thinking to myself, like, I just can't get it right. I just don't know what I'm doing here. And I would think to myself, like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Like, I obviously don't know how to do life. I keep making the wrong decisions. I keep dating the wrong men. I can't even keep a job. I'm unemployed. I can't even handle my finances because I'm drowning in debt. And I just don't want to be here anymore. And I mean, I know a lot of us have been in the same position. And that night, my father, who had passed away in 2006, now we're in 2013, so he's been gone many years. That night, I had a dream. The door opened to my small studio apartment, and a beautiful white light came. And my father, who, when he passed away, was really not in a healthy way, was healthy and perfect. And he came to me, and I like leaped off the bed, and I like hugged him, and I was like, "Puppy, I don't want to be here anymore." And he said to me, it's not your time. It's not your time. And he said, don't worry, everything's going to get better. I promise. In Spanish. And I woke up like I could barely catch my breath. And it was a dream, but like, it felt so real to me. It felt so real. And right after that, you know, I love the quote that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so I had, during that dark night of the soul, during those dark moments in my small studio apartment, I was talking out loud to God, source, the divine, whatever you want to believe in. And I was like pissed. And I'm like, God, why did you do this to me? Like, why are you putting me through this? Like, I don't understand. Like, you say you love your children, you say blah, blah, blah. And I would have these arguments with source, the divine. And it's like, I tell my clients now, like, when you're in that dark night of the soul, the bottom of the pit, like, have these conversations with what you believe in, your spirit guides, your ancestors, source, the divine, it will answer you. When you start asking the right questions, you're going to get answers. And in that moment, I remember it was a Sunday after that whole dream happened. I had gone, my Sunday, normal Sunday routine was to go to church, go get my groceries that I could afford. I make myself a nice little dinner like at 3 or 4 in the afternoon and then sleep the rest of the day away. And that night I had, or that Sunday, I turned on Super Soul Sunday, which if you've ever watched Super Soul Sunday back in the days when she first started it, she had guests like Tony Robbins, Wayne Dyer, Michael Bernard Beckwith, I think that's how you say his name, Gabriel Bernstein, all these different people, and Jack Canfield, and every single person that she had, I was like, who is this person? And what are they talking about? I immediately got their book and I started going down the rabbit hole of self-help and all these new terms and ideas that I'd never heard of, like that you can change your life by changing your thoughts, that you can reprogram your brain to believe something different, that the brain learns in repetition, and that if you repeat certain things to it over and over and over again, you can change your life. And the biggest one that completely changed my life was a gratitude journal. And one of the things she said was, like, she's like, I'm a like multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever. I have more trees on my yard than I ever could imagine. And she's like, and I did it starting with a gratitude journal. And I remember begrudgingly starting a gratitude journal because, again, if you think about my life at that moment, I was unemployed. I was living in a small studio apartment. I literally wore the same shoes for an entire year that my feet smelled, and I owned a 99-cent bucket to wash my feet because my feet smelled so bad in those shoes that were just gross. I had a Honda Civic with like the bumper of it, like it dragged on the floor every time I drove it. I felt like I had, and I was single and I didn't have any kids. And I mean, I just had all the reasons why I shouldn't be grateful. Right. And so I grabbed this free, like journal that I got from like AAA when I signed up for it. And I just started writing. And I remember she said, just start with five things you're grateful for. And I remember sitting at the edge of my bed, you know, and I was just thinking to myself, I have nothing to be grateful for, Paola. There's nothing to be grateful for. I was so pissed off at where I was in my life at 33 years old, because if you look back, like, I did it right. I didn't get pregnant before high school. I went to college. I was the first one in my family to get a degree. I was the first one to ever get a corporate job. I was the first one to ever like leave the family home without like a man getting married to me and taking me out of there. Like, I felt like I did it all right. Why am I here? Like, why am I like unemployed, single, and living in a small studio apartment? And then I forced myself. I was like, okay, Paola, you have to think of 5 things that you're grateful for. And in that moment, I wrote, I'm grateful that I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful that I have a bed to sleep on. I'm grateful that I can see, that I can walk, that I can talk. And then every day, my gratitude journal got bigger and bigger. Now, gratitude is the law of increase. And I didn't know that back then. And my entire life flipped upside down. From living in a small studio apartment to now I have a $1 million home and I own another $1 million home. I have a beautiful, my husband actually gave me a Range Rover for my wedding. Now I traded that in. Now I have a Mercedes. I've been to places that I only posted on my vision board, which were places like Bora Bora, Fiji, Australia. Like, I have gone to see Oprah live. I've met Jack Canfield. I've hugged Tony Robbins. Earlier when Dagmar was on my podcast, like she mentioned Brendon Burchard, he was the officiant at my wedding. He married me and my husband. So yeah, my life has completely changed.
I love him so much. You have no idea how much.
I'm telling you, like my life completely changed. Like, and to think that these things that these people are telling us that weren't told to us in elementary school or high school or even college, how powerful our brain and our thoughts are. Like it's incredible that there's so many people out there that still don't know. And it's the reason why I'm a coach today is because I thought, well, I don't have to tell these people anything. Like, there's Gabby Bernstein and there's Tony Robbins and there's Jack Canfield and there's all these people out there. But you would be surprised how many people, A, have never even watched the book, the movie, The Secret, have never read a book on self-help, have never attended a conference.
I'm going to interrupt you in there, but okay, so glad that you mentioned The Secret, because I was talking to my fitness coach this morning when we were talking about that. And it's incredible how that, when you read the book and also watch the movie, how your mind's up and up on how, you know, basically the obstacle is in your mind. You just have to open your mind to the possibilities. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's a great tool.
Yeah. Well, when I first got the book, The Secret, was in 2008. So my father passed away in 2006, and that was a whole nother dark night of the soul. But in 2008, my friend gave me the book, The Secret. And I'm telling you, the first time I read that book, I said, well, that shit ain't going to happen for me. I'm Mexican. Stuff like that does not happen to me. I'm Mexican and that's not going to happen. That shit might work for white people, but that shit ain't going to work for me. And honestly, because I'm a researcher at heart and I will read anything and watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts and like get into the subreddits and try to figure things out. Like, I tried to debunk The Secret. So I took every little tool that they told me to do, like a vision board, like thinking about a perfect parking spot in front of Target, like going to the dealership and sitting in the car. Like, tell me why every single thing worked. Tell me why I got my Range Rover. Tell me why I flew to Bora Bora. Tell me why I've flown first class in private. Tell me why I've had like have a beautiful husband that like loves and adores me. And like, tell me why every single thing that I tried to disprove actually worked. Yeah. So I tell my clients now, like, and I tell people that I talk to that have never been down the rabbit hole of self-help or been down the rabbit hole of learning about, like, you know, the laws of the universe or manifestation or how all these things, I tell them, try it out then. Don't take my word for it. Spend the time to test it, research it, do the scientific method, take notes, write your hypothesis, and then like test it out, and if and then trust, and then like just watch the results. Exactly. Watch the results, and then come back to me and tell me this shit doesn't work. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. Now, you mentioned something that I want to kind of like pick your brain in, because obviously you are Latina. I am Latina from Puerto Rico, and there, you mentioned that, oh, that this thing doesn't happen to me. I mean, who's not going to happen to me? I'm Mexican. Do you think that Mexican American or Hispanics or Latinos around the world think of themselves less because of their ethnicity? Is that something that influences in the way that we view success? Well, or compare ourselves to other people?
I don't want to use it as a blanket statement.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a blanket, but.
Well, because I want people to understand that, you know, it all goes back to what you were taught from 0 to 7. So I, if you want to go down the rabbit hole, listen to books from Joe Dispenza and Bruce Lipton. Like, our brain is just like constantly downloading information from 0 to 7. So growing up in the environment that I grew up in, like, I was always told, like, that white people were up here and we were down here. And if you, my mom and my dad didn't speak English. And I not only was told this, but I watched my parents be treated less than because they couldn't speak the language, because they couldn't fill out forms by themselves, because they couldn't order food by themselves. Like, I watched people treat my family differently. And even now, my sisters, all three of my sisters have their master's degree, but because they have an accent, they're treated differently. So it's the reality of the world of like how people see other people, but in my, and, but it's also how you feel about yourself, because the world could say one thing, but it also depends on like how you feel about yourself, because obviously Oprah is a beautiful, you know, example of like somebody who doesn't fit the mold of what people think people should look like. And she doesn't have the skin color of what people think is success. And yet she's the most successful woman in the world, right? It all depends. It's all about what you think about on the inside. So going back again to how powerful our thoughts are. Well, my thought growing up was that we were down here and that I will always be a worker bee and it'll always be hard to live. And I'm going to struggle and live paycheck to paycheck. And money is hard to come by. And, you know, Mexicans don't go to therapy and this and that. Like I had so many ideologies that were given to me between 0 and 7 by not only the people that raised me, but by the people that I was around. So yeah, it, to me, like that was my first idea. I've met so many other Mexican people who are like, I think I'm the best. I'm the most. Yeah. But you probably had loving parents who told you you were the best and you were great and you were awesome. I did not have the same experience. And that's why it's so important that people understand that they have to do the healing journey for them to like actually manifest and do all the great things, because that's where I went wrong. The first time I got the book, The Secret, was way before that guy choked me out. And when I first started it and I started to put it to the test, I still had that record running in the background that I wasn't good enough and I wasn't, you know, lovable and I wasn't worthy and I wasn't deserving. And so because that record was still running in my subconscious mind, I was attracting all the things that I wanted, a boyfriend, a new job, a new place to live, but they were all new friends, but they were all toxic because in the background, I still had that running. Oh, but you're not good enough. Oh, but you're not worthy. Oh, but you're unlovable. Oh, but there's something inherently wrong with you. So when you have that energy and that subconscious record still playing in the background, you're going to manifest because that's just the law of attraction, but you may not manifest exactly what you want, or you will, and then you'll self-sabotage. So that's why now, like, I'm an emotion and body code practitioner, and it deals with tapping into your client's subconscious mind and finding where you recorded this message and deleting it and just being like, no, we're going to remove that and release that from your subconscious mind. And that takes a lot of work. You've spent years. I love that one time I was getting really mad at myself and I was talking to one of my healers, one of my shamanic healers. And I was telling her, like, I just wish that I could just let go of this, let go of this pain of why my mother doesn't love me or whatever. And she's like, Paola, you've been on your healing journey since you were 33 years old, but you were in the negative era of your life from 0 to 33, and you're only 44. So basically almost 70 to 80% of my life, I've been in the negative era. How are you just going to flip and it'll be ready? You know, that's what I tell people. Like, you can't just go to one therapy session and think, oh, I'm good.
You have to go to multiple.
So. Right? Oh, I'm good. I figured it out.
It's not only the therapy with, you know, a specialist or coach. It's also self-therapy, because you have to do the work yourself. You have to,
yeah.
You sit down and you have to go through every inch of your mind and review, okay, what is there? Let me go through that CPU, this drive that I have in my head, and let me go through everything and start, like you say, removing, deleting all that. Yeah. So self-work is also part of it. Now, you go through all that self-work. How then you thought, okay, let me become a coach? How that happened?
Oh, that's also by happenstance. So my husband is actually the co-founder of a company called Kajabi, and I never knew what Kajabi did. I was actually his property manager, and I just always saw them like hanging out in the building, like, you know, renting their little skateboards everywhere. And I'm just like, what's going on over there? Well, eventually, like, my husband asked me out on a date, and we went out on a date, and we've been inseparable ever since. He's my soulmate. I love him to death. And he told me, he's like, you should be, because at the time I was doing what I called accountability groups. And the reason why I started accountability groups is because I had read the book 21 Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And when I was reading the 21 Success Principles by Jack Canfield, I was like, everybody needs to do this. Like, everybody needs to do these success principles. And so I went on Facebook and I was like, I messaged like 10 or 15 of my friends. I'm like, who wants to join my accountability group? And we're going to get together every Monday and we're going to do one thing, you know, one principle out of this book every week for 21 weeks. And I was like, so excited. And I told my husband, and he's like, you're coaching. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm holding an accountability group. He's like, no, you're coaching. What you're doing is you're coaching. You should do this. Like, and then because he's in the industry, he like helped me. And he was like, you really need to like create a brand and do this. And honestly, before that I had, was teaching people how to pay off their debt, because I did end up reading one of Dave Ramsey's book, The Total Money Makeover. And in a year and a half, I paid off $18,000 worth of credit card debt by working my regular property management job and then having a side hustle on the side, or multiple side hustles on the side. And I paid it all off in 1 year. And I was teaching people how to do that and how to raise their credit score and all this other stuff. And my husband was like, you should do a course. And I did a course, and I, you know, plastered it all over, you know, his platform, which was called Kajabi. And then when I put it out there, I got crickets. Like, nobody bought my course. And then I realized,
I know how that feels,
right? You realize that you have to create an audience. Yeah. Like, you have to create an audience that are going to know, like, and trust you. Exactly. And so then I started to like go down that rabbit hole of like learning how to like create an audience. And all I wanted to do was create an audience. Like, I didn't want to do another course, because that was just like very traumatic. And I didn't want to do anything else. So I spent the next couple of years just creating a podcast and creating a Facebook group, which no longer exists. But I created the Fearless Female Movement Facebook group. And I just went on there every single day, and I was teaching them what I was learning on my own healing journey. And I was telling them about books I was reading. And I was like, every time I had an aha moment because I was listening to a podcast, I'd be like, oh my God, you guys have to hear this, this and this and this. And people started messaging me, like, and they started saying, hey, are you a coach? Like, I would love to coach with you, you know, or hey, I just broke up with my boyfriend and I don't know what to do. Are you coaching? And I'm like, no, but okay, you know. And so at that moment, my husband was actually called to do he wrote a book called You Inc., Finding the Business Within You. And he was asked to go speak at this event in Las Vegas. And I met somebody who I really admired, and she was a coach. And so I hired her, and she taught me like everything that I'm doing now. And honestly, like, I love coaching simply because it's like I'm helping me era 2006 and 2013. Every single time that I teach people how to, what I call, awaken their soul, is just the most beautiful moment. It's better than anything that I could ever buy or purchase. And to see their life completely transform from where they were to where they're at now. Like, I've had women leave toxic marriages and now are in love with the right man. I have women starting their own businesses. I've had women lose 30 pounds and start traveling more because now they're more confident in themselves. I've had women start their PhD, go back to school and get their master's degree. I've had women manifest Range Rovers and money, unexpected money. I mean, I've had women just like, and they're shocked. they're shocked that these things happen. And again, like I tell them, I'm not like your guru and I'm not like some weird magic witch. Like, I'm just telling you to test these theories, right? That these theories that are long before, you know, like how in the book, The Secret, she's like, these are stories from long before and we're just testing them out to see if they work. And they do. They work every single time, you know, and it's just like the most amazing thing. So I kind of fell into coaching, but I love what I do. It's the most incredible thing that I get to do every single day. Sometimes I pinch myself. I'm like, I get to do this every single day. That's awesome. I get to do this.
Well, what you mentioned your podcast. Let's talk a little bit more about your podcast. What inspired you to start the journey of the Fearless Female? And what is basically the like the center of or theme or message that you want to convey to your audience through it?
So Journey of a Fearless Female started because I wanted to talk to other women. I live in Southern California, Orange County, about 30 minutes away from Newport Beach.
There's not enough women in California. Okay.
No, but like when you're around people in this area, sometimes the conversations are very shallow and it's very much about like, oh, where'd you get your purse? Oh, where'd you get your Botox? Oh, like I, you know, just I'm on this new diet. And I just wanted to have like deep conversations. You know, like I'm a very, when you talk to me, it's funny because people will meet me and they'll tell me their whole life story. I don't know if it's something about my energy or what, but I love telling people my whole life story. Like I love having these deep conversations because when I was in that place in my life where I felt like I was, there was something wrong with me and I just couldn't figure it out, I would go to like Starbucks, especially when I was unemployed. I would go to Starbucks or the South Coast Mall, which is in Orange County. It's one of like the highest elite malls that people fly from Japan to go to the South Coast Plaza. Like it's beautiful, or Fashion Island. And I would see these beautiful women in like jewelry and their fast cars and their outfits. And I would just look at them and think, man, they have it all. Like they know what they're doing, you know? And now, I mean, my podcast has just graduated to its fifth year and I've interviewed over 200 women. And I love that when every single time I meet a woman that I think they had it all figured out, when you get down to having the conversation, they've either survived a narcissistic relationship or they were abused when they were a child, or, you know, they did drugs. Like I remember there was a beautiful guest that I had, her name is Amy Green and she's gorgeous. If you would have seen her at like Starbucks, you would think that she had her whole life, like just given to her, you know, beautiful, gorgeous eyes, arms like Michelle Obama, gorgeous body, beautiful butt. And she was addicted to opioids. And she was a soccer player that, you know, got injured and they gave her oxycodone and she ended up getting addicted to them, became a heroin addict. And she had the most incredible story, you know, and that's the reason why I started the podcast, is because I wanted to have conversations where people got to tell their journey, you know, and it's a platform where women can actually get, you know, their voices heard and their stories heard. And every single story is different. And I love that women are inspired and motivated by seeing them and saying, like, if she can do it, then I can do it. And everyone can be a phoenix rising from the ashes, because we all have that power and that resilience and that magic and that bravery. And sometimes it takes for us to look at other people and see, like, man, she can do it. I can do it. Right. And so that's the whole reason for having this platform, is for women to, you know, take back their voices and their stories and have a platform where they can do it. And I just love it. I love being able to connect with these women. Some of these women I'm still friends with today, because you just get into the nitty gritty, right, of their lives, rather than just seeing them from the outside and thinking, wow, you know, she's just had her whole life given to her and everything's so perfect, but you don't know their backstory. You don't know what happened to them or where they came from or what they've had to overcome, or, you know what I mean? And so like when you get to those stories and you get to meet these women where they're at, you get to have a whole new respect for women. And I just feel like that needed to be something that I love it. I've been doing it for 5 years now, new episode every Monday.
I love it. Now let me ask you something. Looking back today, looking back, what is the most rewarding thing about everything that you have done and you have become and accomplished that helps you help women in a different way? What from everything looking back?
I feel like the most rewarding thing is knowing that women have taken back their power and realizing their self-worth, realizing that they can overcome anything, and that even though it feels like your whole entire life is falling apart, because I've had many clients who like come to me at the beginning of their healing journey, whether somebody just broke up with them or they lost their job or, you know, someone passed away in their life and they just feel like there's nothing left to live for, or there's no way they'll ever rebuild. Watching their lives completely transform and finding the light in the darkness again makes it all worth it for me, because I was that person that was lost in the darkness. And I wish I had someone like me to give me the light, but I had to find it on my own. And I did. Well, my dad came to give it to me, but yeah, it makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it because there are so many of them out there that are lost and they just need someone to show them the light. And we all deserve to live in the light.
We all do. Now, before we reach to our final question, I promise I'll let you go in a minute. Beyond the coaching, the podcast, what other projects or initiatives are you involved or passionate about that resonate with your mission?
Well, people are afraid of coaching because sometimes it's very costly, you know, they're like, and then, like I said, I like to work with the women that are starting their healing journey. And when you're at the bottom of the barrel and you're experiencing your dark night of the soul, investing in yourself is not something you're thinking of doing, right? You're just like, there's no way I can afford that, right? And so I have what is called the Fearless Power Group, and it's a monthly membership. It's only $99.97. It's the cheapest coaching you'll ever get, but you get to meet with me once a month. I do a coaching, like I coach for an hour and then I ask you questions once a month, but you have access through me, through Facebook chat, and you get to talk to me. So like I have clients in there who have gone through my 90-day programs, my one-on-one coaching, some have even come to my retreats, and they like we'll have like a moment, you know. And that's the thing, it's like coaching to me, it's not like a one and done deal. Like for me, it's like kind of going to the chiropractor. Sometimes you need an adjustment. And so they'll message me on Facebook and they'll say, hey, like I'm having like a moment. And it's a group Facebook chat and a group Facebook Fearless Power platform. So they get to not only help each other, but, and I also jump in there and I'll give them advice and I'll help them get realigned to who they really are, because sometimes life is life and life will life. And eventually you're going to like get, you might go back to repeating the pattern. You might go back to your comfort zone, or something is going to come up to you. And it's like another lesson that you have to learn in life. And you need that support group. Yeah. And you need people who are talking the same language, especially like when I was on my healing journey and I'm like, okay, I'm talking about boundaries and emotionally immature parents and narcissism. And I'm trying to talk to my mom and dad, or my mom and my sisters and my brother about like therapy. They could understand what I was talking about. They had no clue about manifesting or the law of attraction. And they were not interested in listening to what I had to say. So I love this group that I've created. I love the women that are in it because they've all been through, they're all reading the same books. They're all watching the same YouTube videos. We're all listening to the same podcast. And so when I can have a conversation with them and teach them more about what I'm learning, I mean, they love it. And all of their lives are just like creating a ripple effect in this universe, which is amazing.
I love it. The Fearless Power Group. And is it like enrollment open right now?
It's always open. That's what I love about this, is that it's a monthly membership group. You can join whenever you feel like you're having, let's just say you're going through a breakup and you're like, for the next 3 or 4 months, you need a support group. You need someone who's talking the same language. You need help. Join for the next 3 or 4 months and quit whenever you want. Come back whenever you want. But I do have to tell you, my prices do go up. So like a couple of the women started back in the day when I was doing a promotion and they're like, oh my God, I want to get back in. But yeah, the price went up. So now, so I'm like right now it's $99.97 and probably by middle of the year, I'll bring it up again. But like, once you get into that price, that's your price forever. Like if you lock in that price and you never quit, that's your price forever. But if you lock in the price and then quit and try to come back and get the same price, not going to happen. Okay. Not going to happen.
Now you know.
But yeah. Yeah. Now you know. But I like it because you can jump in and jump out whenever you want. And when you jump in, you have access to all the old lessons in the Facebook group. And then you get to meet these women who are incredible. They've become friends in the group. I mean, some of them are in Canada, Texas, Arizona. And like when they go travel and they're like, oh, I'm in Texas, I'm going to go meet Terry or I'm going to go meet so-and-so. And it's just incredible to see the community that I've created. And the women are just powerful by themselves on their own. And they're just, they're doing their own things and creating great things. And so it's just an incredible group to be a part of.
That's fantastic. So, people can connect with you on Instagram at fearlessfemale_coach, correct?
Yes. But I highly live on TikTok. I highly live on TikTok. So go to @paola.rosser and you'll find me there.
There you go. And the website, obviously, fearlessfemale.com. You guys, everything that she does is there. So make sure that you go after the podcast and check her out and go and connect with Paola. Now, Paola, before I let you go, one more thing. What you can tell our audience that they can start doing today to change their life and become fearless?
Ooh, number one thing that I would tell everyone to do is get yourself a gratitude journal. Doesn't have to be special. I mean, my first one was a AAA giveaway little booklet that they gave. It had blank pages on it. Just grab a notebook and make sure it's something that you can write, physically write and not type in on your phone. But, and then write every single day, whether it's in the morning when you wake up and you're having your cup of coffee or at night before you say your nightly prayers or turn off your lamp, write 5 things that you're grateful for. It is the most incredible tool that will change your life because gratitude is the law of increase. The more that you can be grateful for what you have now, the more that you're going to be blessed with more things. I love that in the book, The Untethered Soul, he gives an example of how, this might be a little bit too long, but it's okay. I want to share this because this is my favorite thing. Okay. So in the book, The Untethered Soul, he says, when God comes down and says to you, like, how do you love it here? Oh my God, don't you like this earth, this beautiful place that I created? And you say, no, I hate it here. It's too hot. Sun is blistering my skin and I hate these little mosquitoes and I'm just so sick of this place. The wind is howling and it just keeps me up all night and these damn birds won't shut the F up, right? Do you think God's going to be like, oh, I'm going to give them more? No, right? So then he goes to the next person and he's like, how do you like it here? And that person's like, I love it here. I love the way the wind caresses my skin. I love the way the sun envelops me with warmth. I love that I can see. I love that I can talk. I love that I can walk. I love the clouds. I love the birds. I'm so grateful to be here. Do you think God's going to give that person more? Because God can only give you more than you can handle, right? So the more you're grateful for things that you have now, the more blessings you will become. It's crazy the way it works. I don't know how it works, but it works.
But it again, works.
Put it to the test. Be your own scientist and do your own like scientific research and trust that this will work. Get yourself a little journal. And actually, if you want to, I'm going to just do this for your audience. Send me a message on Instagram and say, I would like a journal and give me your address and I will freaking mail you a free journal so that you could start doing your gratitudes today. Because I'm telling you, it will revolutionize your life.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Paola, for being with us. I truly appreciate you sharing all your wisdom, your story, and inspiring the audience like always. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. You guys, you heard her. Don't forget, I'm just gonna let you go because I know it was a lot to take in. And she has an amazing story. Replay the episode if you need to. Connect with her if you have to. I actually gonna tell you, actually go connect with her because I know she definitely can unleash the fearless women in you. Okay. So right now, the one last thing that I'm gonna say in the meantime, don't forget, like always, to unlock your potential and be fearless. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.